appreciate you.
Good morning.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, I said the first week, if you weren't satisfied, to come back, and I see a lot of familiar faces. So either one, we learned something, or two, we're not satisfied. And so again, the same thing. If you're not satisfied after today, you got to come back in 2 weeks, and you got to hear me close it up, because you got to give it all 3 weeks. I'm thankful for the opportunity. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. As most of you guys know, my father passed away when I was about 9 months old, so I didn't have the traditional father, but I had a wonderful grandfather and still have a wonderful grandfather who is faithfully following the Lord, who has been just a great encouragement in my life and just really taught me what it looks like to be a man of God. It is great seeing Pastor Mark and Miss Aggie here this morning. I'm going to label them the Baptist Bandits since they stole my grandparents away from me. But I know they're super excited to help out over in New York. It's just a crazy small world that Mark and Aggie are here, and my grandparents went there to help them. But I know they're excited. It's exciting to see what the Lord does when you just follow him. One thing, too, is I always love singing Love Lifted Me. As Pastor said, is it's that good calf workout. And the best way that you can identify a Baptist is they got a big belly and some shredded calves, because we eat and we sing. So that's a good thing. Again, I have another handout for this week if you guys want to take it home. I put it on a full sheet of paper since the last one, the font was like this small. This isn't a follow-through with the lesson, but it's just a little bit of a reflection. It's a new memory verse, it's three new questions, and it's last week's memory verse. So if you want one of these, just grab it on your way out. I'll kind of talk about it again when I'm done, because there's some application questions, and I don't want to spoil the lesson this morning. If you guys want to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 2, we're going to be in James chapter 2. And again, we're going to be going around a little bit this morning, just turning through different scriptures and whatnot. James chapter 2, and last week, as we looked at a faith that stands, that's what we're looking for, is a faith that stands in a dark time. And we looked at the foundation of faith. Last week, if you weren't here, we defined what faith was. Faith was that full confidence in God. We talked about where faith comes from. As the book of Romans says, it comes by hearing the word of God. And we talked about different ways you hear the word of God. It's by accepting it as your final authority. It's by conforming to the correction. And it's by keeping God to his covenant, keeping him to his promises, holding to his promises. That's how you're going to hear the word of God. And then we talked about why it's so important in a believer's life. And we talked about how God commends faithfulness. That was our memory verse last week, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It pleases God when a believer has faith in their life. And so this morning, I want to take a look at the function of faith. We looked at the foundation of faith. Now I want to look at the function of faith. Faith is honestly an amazing thing. We hear amazing stories, amazing works done through faith. And we have the access to that same faith. The only thing about our faith is we're not going to see it in our lives if we're passive in our Christian life. To see faith work in your life, you must be active and you must be obedient in your walk with the Lord. And this morning, I'm going to give you just 3 points about faith and what that looks like as being active and obedient in your life with the Lord, to see your faith lived out. So first, we're going to start in James chapter 2. We're going to be in verse number 17. It says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to just share your word, God. I pray that you'd get me out of your way. Lord, I just want your message to be conveyed this morning, God. I just want you to be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, as we look at this faith, Lord, that we would just develop this faith in our life, Lord, to do amazing things for your glory. Lord, I love you. I just thank you for your goodness to us, and just pray that you'll watch over us now in these few minutes we have. In Christ's name, amen. So the first thing we see here in this verse is it says, "Even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone." What's unfortunate about this verse is a lot of different denominations or a lot of different religions have made this verse to say that you have to have works to be saved. Now, we understand that's not so, and as we went last week to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the Bible clearly says that, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So does that mean there's a contradiction in the word of God? This verse says that you have to have works to have a living faith, but that verse says that it's not of works. So what do we do with that? Well, we're going to take a look at that verse of having a dead faith and what really generates when you experience real salvation. When you experience real salvation. It's going to produce works. And that's what the James is saying here. It's not saying your works are going to save you, but when you've experienced the love of Jesus Christ and deliverance from your sin and eternity with the Lord, that's what's producing the work. There's this this movement of easy believism that's gone out, and it's honestly pretty scary. Just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, say a prayer, and that's I'd tread lightly in doing that, because you need to understand that you are a sinner. You have to understand that your sin eternally separates you from God. There has to be repentance in order for salvation, and it's not the repentance that saves you. As the book of Romans says, it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. It's not because you've mustered up or you're a good person. It's strictly because the Lord has led you to repent. The Lord has, in his goodness and his long-suffering, has led you to the point of realization that your sin is separating you from God and that you need a Savior. If you want to turn to 2 Peter 3, 9, it says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, which could tie into last week as we talked about holding the Lord to his promises. But going on in verse number 9, it says, as some men count slackness, but as longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord isn't willing that anybody perishes, but in return, he needs you to come to repentance. I was looking at a quote, because you can get kind of dicey and say, well, is repentance a work? Is it not? I don't believe repentance is a work, because the Bible says it's not our work that saves us. But this verse says that, you know, if you don't want to perish, it takes repentance. So I'm going to read this quote real quick, just from an article I found that I thought was really well described. It says, repentance is not a work. Repentance and faith can be understood as two sides of the same coin. It is impossible to place your faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior without first changing your mind about your sin and about who Jesus is and what he has done. Whether it is repentance from willful rejection or repentance from ignorance or disinterest, it is a change of mind. Biblical repentance in relation to salvation is changing your mind from rejection of Christ to faith in Christ. While repentance is not a work that earns salvation, repentance unto salvation does result in works. And I believe that's the best explanation of this verse, is saying when you've experienced that faith, when you've experienced the Holy Spirit living inside of you, your spiritual blindness has been taken off. You will have works in your life. The Bible says, by your fruits you shall know them. So to see if we're going to have an active faith, we have to be doing something for our faith to be alive. We have to be reaching people. We have to be praying for people. We have to be ministering to people. No matter what we say or what we do, it's not a work. The Bible says that there is only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I just want to clear that up, that repentance is not a work for salvation, but repentance is required. We see here that true faith is going to help us, is going to be active in our life. We understand that a dead faith, you could kind of picture it this way, is like a flashlight. If I had a flashlight up here in the daytime, it's like, wow, I bet that thing's pretty nice at nighttime. But at nighttime, there's no batteries in the light. Well, I'm throwing pens. Sorry. It's like the flashlight with no batteries, where it looks useful, but it's really powerless. Yeah. A dead faith may look useful, but it's powerless. And that's where you have to examine in your life. I'm sure this morning we're in Sunday school. I'm sure there's nobody here that doesn't know the Lord, but you never want to assume that whenever you get a chance to preach the word. And so if you've never experienced the faith that produces the kind of love, the kind of relationship that comes with salvation, that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and to experience that. Amen. We were door knocking on Thursday, and we came across a gentleman on the street. I was with Pastor and Brother Dave Horner, and he was saying, once you get saved, he goes, you just notice a lot of different things. You just tend to be a lot more thankful. You kind of see the Lord's hand work in your life in ways you haven't seen before, and he was saying you kind of humble yourself a little bit because you realize it's just by the mercy and grace of God that you have anything. And I think that's so true, and that's that first step of that act of faith, is you kind of step back and you realize, say, Lord, this is all you. Anything I have is your goodness. And you become more thankful. Lord willing, you become more humble, and you really just try to share the good news with others. I thought that was a great perspective. It's kind of, if I had an orange up here and I squeeze out an orange, you're going to get orange juice. If I had an apple, I don't know if I'm strong enough to squeeze an apple, but if I crushed an apple, and you'd have apple juice. The same thing should be in our life when life is squeezing us and it's testing us and it's just got a grip hold on us, Jesus should be coming out. Yeah. Just naturally, when you had experienced that faith, Jesus should be coming out. How do you get through trials? How do you go through a loss of a loved one? How do you go through all these things? Well, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to be separated. Your faith demonstrates, that's that first point, is it demonstrates, but it demonstrates the love of God. You should be separate. You should be different. And not in a way where you become self-righteous, where you think you're better than the world, because if we're being honest, I think we all realize that we're all pretty bad. The only goodness is Jesus Christ. But your faith should demonstrate something different. The way you talk at work, the way you act at work, your attitude on certain things should be different. Your faith should demonstrate something. As you're going through a trial or as you're going through a confusion, people should be able to look and say, why does this person still have joy? Why does this person still have peace? Well, it's a peace that passeth all understanding. That's that active faith. It's going to produce that. There's this song. I always have music in every single one of my sermons, an illustration of music. But as you read through the Psalms, the Lord is pretty heavy on getting praise through music. I think music is a very powerful tool, and we ought to be careful what music we're allowing in as well, because it has a strong play on your emotions. But the Lord receives a lot of praise and honor through the music. So that's why I always try to have a song in here. This is one that we have on our Spotify playlist, so maybe you've heard it over the speaker or whatnot. But the song is titled, How Could I Not Tell? And I'm not a singer, so I'm going to spare you guys, but I'm just going to read the first two verses of the song. The first verse says, just an old leper traveling life's road. When Jesus passed by him and said, be made whole. The Lord said to tell not how he'd been restored, but Jesus' commandment he seemed to ignore. And he said, how could I not tell what he's done for me? How could a prisoner not shout, I am free? How does a beggar not say he's found bread? How can I not tell in spite of what he said? The second verse, this applies to us, it says, just an old sinner traveling life's road. When Jesus passed by me and said, be made whole. Just like the leper, I'll gladly proclaim, there is still healing in his precious name. And I said, how could I not tell what he's done for me? How could a prisoner not shout, I am free? How does a beggar not say he's found bread? How could I not tell in spite of what he said? And I love that song because that's the perfect description of what salvation really is. A prisoner set free, a beggar who has found bread, a leper who has been healed. How could you not tell? That's that experience of true salvation. What a dead faith is like, it's like saying you go to the gym, you joined a gym, but the only cardio is when you pass it. Right, you walk past the gym and that's your cardio for the day. That's a dead faith. That's not going to produce anything. You're not going to get anywhere with that. So we see that faith demonstrates, but faith demonstrates salvation. The next thing, if you want to turn to Genesis 22, is faith simply does. Faith simply does. In Genesis 22, we're going to be looking at the story of Abraham for this point, and we understand that Abraham was longing to have a son and was in prayer with God for a long time about that son, and then he finally delivered on the promise, and he got him that son. He got Isaac, and as you guys all know, is God tempted Abraham, and he asked him to sacrifice Isaac. The one thing that Abraham so desperately wanted is the one thing that God asked him to sacrifice. We see in this story that Abraham didn't stall, but he stepped forward, and that's an example of true faith, how true faith walks the walk, doesn't just talk the talk. If you read the first three verses of Genesis 22, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. So I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to realize that God tested Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith, but at first it came with a testing. He did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Verse number two, it says, and he said. So first thing we see is that God tests Abraham, but next we're going to see that God tells Abraham. The other step of having a faith that stands is living a life clean enough to hear the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. If you have unrepentant sin in your life, if you have habitual sin and you're not willing to part with it, God's going to be dealing with you about the sin as opposed to what he wants you to do. The amazing thing he wants you to do, the offering up of Isaac, you're not going to hear that because you're going to hear the sin that's in your life. So we see here, if we're going to have a faith that stands, we have to have a clean walk with God. We have to be able to hear his listening. But back in verse 2, it says, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. You just see how the Lord even sees Abraham's relationship with Isaac, the son that thou lovest. And what does he want to do with it? It says in verse 2, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him up there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. We look at that, and if it was me, I'd probably stall all day to get that done. you'd have one last day with your son. You'd go out, like, let's go on the lake, let's go fishing, let's cook up some steaks, let's watch the NBA game, whatever's going on. Game 7 of the NBA Finals, I don't think that was around when Abraham was around, but maybe they had a different basketball league, I don't know. Probably not. But Abraham, we see, he didn't delay. We see in verse number 3, it says, in verse number 3, Abraham trusts and takes action. And we see that in verse number 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. Abraham didn't delay to obey the Lord. When the Lord made it clear Abraham was to do something, he just went after it. How many times in our life when the Lord wants us to do something, lays it so clear in our hearts, hey, I want you to do this, whatever it may be, we kind of delay. We kind of wait around too much. Abraham didn't delay. He got up in the morning. In verse number 3, it says, and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. We see here not only did Abraham rise up early in the morning, but Abraham had to get to work. He had to get some people with him to help him get to work. He had to saddle his ass. He had to get up the mountain. He had to take his son. He had to take the wood. There was a process of work that Abraham had to do. Maybe the Lord is calling you to do something that's going to take work, but just because it's hard isn't an excuse to not listen. We also see here that Abraham was at least 100 years old during this time. So maybe in your life you say, oh, well, just because of my age, God's not going to do that, but that's not true. At 100 years old, God still had Abraham doing something important to test his faith. Again, I look at my grandparents in this practical application, in their 80s, and God calls them across the country to help out at a church. Age is not an excuse to delay the calling of God in your life. There's never a time, whether it's young or old, whatever your age is, if God is calling you to do something, now is the time to take action. We also see later in this chapter that God provided a ram in the thickets for Abraham in the sacrifice. How often do we get that point where maybe the Lord's telling us to do something, but we have a bad attitude or our eyes aren't where they're supposed to be, and we miss that ram in the thickets? Wouldn't that be a bummer if Abraham had a bad attitude and just like got up there and killed Isaac, and then after Isaac was dead, looked up and saw the ram? Like, ooh. But no, he had that faith. In our lives, often we got to be careful that our motive, that our attitude is pure before the Lord. When the Lord's asking you to go through something, don't miss the ram in the thickets because you have a bad attitude. Don't miss the ram in the thickets because you're complaining or you believe that you know better than God. If God speaks, we have to listen. And I know that's easy to say, and it's harder to actually live out, but when God is putting something on your heart, you need to just go. We see that faith does, it doesn't just sit around. Even in waiting for God, there's stuff to be done. Waiting is a challenge in and of itself. As you know, the Ackermans are waiting on a pretty important court case, and that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to wait. But there's still things to do. You don't want to rush God's timing, but at the same time, don't be delaying his calling. We need to be looking constantly for ways to serve the Lord. Even at Cornerstone Baptist Church, there's something that every single person could be doing. Whether it's going to outreach, whether it's praying for outreach, whether it's praying for pastor, whether it's praying for the church, whether it's just inviting people to church, whether it's helping out in Awana, which so many of you guys do, and I appreciate that, whether it's all the help that goes with the senior potlucks, whether it's the help that goes with the church potlucks, there's so much to do at this church. And I'm not here to say if you're helping that you're doing a bad job. We have a phenomenal group of helpers, but maybe you're looking and God's wanting you to get more involved. Think of the amazing ministries that God could open up if he had more willing people. You never know what God has planned for Cornerstone Baptist Church in a year, in 5 years. But he needs people willing to be a part of it, amen, to do anything with it. He needs a real person to take real action in order for things to grow. So if you're looking for things to do, I'm sure you can get with Pastor, and he'd love to get you into a ministry. If you can't do ministry, he'd love to help you with opportunities. There's just so much to do in a church that we need people to step up. If Abraham were a Baptist today, what he'd have done before he went up the mountain is he would have formed a committee, he would have prayed for a fleece, and he would have asked all of his Facebook friends what they thought about this act of God. That's what we do nowadays, right? We like to say that we don't, but it's easy to do that. And I think you don't want to be reckless. You definitely want the counsel, wise counsel. The Bible speaks about that. I'm not saying move to Africa tomorrow because you have this emotional feeling. Not at all. But you don't want to be reckless. But oftentimes I think that we delay. I think we know when God is speaking about something, and we just delay anyway. I would encourage you not to delay. And again, I would encourage you to not let your age be an excuse to not do something for God. If you want to turn to Joshua chapter 2, we're going to go to the last point now. So we saw that faith demonstrates the love of God. We see that faith does. Simply, faith is by taking action, actively obeying the Lord. It's not delaying the call of God on your life, but it's looking for ways to serve God. It's giving it your all. to grow in the Lord. I gotta find Joshua. I'm all turn around up here. Okay, perfect. Joshua chapter 2. And the next thing we're gonna look at is that faith delivers. Faith delivers. And we're gonna look at the story of Rahab. We're all familiar with the story of Rahab. Rahab was a harlot or a prostitute by occupation. She was someone who you and I would truthfully probably look down on, and had a very socially low, didn't have a high status. And as you guys know the story, Joshua was planning to send an attack to Jericho, and they were going to take over that land, and he sent two spies. And Rahab put the two spies in, they hid them, and as the king of Jericho went to Rahab's door and knocked on her door, she had misled the troops of Jericho because she knew what God was doing with the Israelites. And that's something that we can even think about in our own life, is the king of Jericho, the actual king of Jericho, is at this lady's house and is talking to her. How easy would it have been to just obey, be intimidated by the power that man probably had. But she still chose to follow the Lord, despite the circumstance, despite the power that man had, she still chose to do the right thing. So the same is true in our lives. If we have an influence in our life that maybe has power, or it's a strong relationship, maybe it's a family member, and they tend to get us to stumble on our walk with Christ, we ought to do the right thing anyway. We ought to stay faithful to the Lord. We see, if you want to look at verse number 9, Joshua 2, verse number 9, it says, "And she said unto the men," this is the spy she's talking to, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Verse number 10 says, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites. And they were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Verse 11, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." We see here that she pleads with these spies to be delivered from the attack, to protect her household. We know that what God is doing is real. She had enough faith in knowing what God is doing. Do we have enough faith in this book when we hear about the way God does things? The harlot, the prostitute, had enough faith in God. We ought to have that same faith in God. What's amazing is we see this whole turn of events. How do you bring someone who is as low as this prostitute into someone who's in Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, who's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? How do you get there? And that's simply by faith. It's that active faith to do right, to follow the Lord despite the status. It's quite a beautiful thing. And one thing you can do to realize that faith delivers, one thing faith delivers you from is faith delivers you from your past. You're not tied to your past. You're not tied to who you were. You don't have to live that life anymore. Faith delivers you. We see a harlot through faith is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do behind closed doors, you can drop that today and you can have the deliverance. You can have your faith deliver you from your sin. And it's an amazing thing when you get victory over sin. Don't allow your past to keep beating you up or to say you can't be used of God because I've done this and this. None of that is true. God can use anybody as long as you're willing to demonstrate your faith and actively pursue it. That's a pretty heavy challenge, I would say, that Rahab faced is having a man of high status knock on her door and tell her, "Hey, show us where these spies are at. We know they were here," and she still chose to do the right thing. It's encouraging to know that you can still do the right thing. You don't have to fall into this comfortable Christianity, I guess, where because things get hard, you just kind of start slacking. You're allowed through all adversity to show your faith. So what's the common theme that we see in all of these points? We see that faith demonstrates, faith does, and faith delivers. Well, what we notice in all these points is it takes real people taking real action. These aren't just fake stories that we just know about, but these are real people who've had real emotions, who had real struggles, real temptations, real doubts, but still chose to do their faith. The same thing is true with us. If we want a faith that stands, it's going to take real people taking real action. You're going to have your temptations. You're going to have your doubts. You're going to have your trials. You're going to have all of these things, but it's up to you to take the action to have your faith produce something amazing. Size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. That almost frustrates me because I can't move a mountain, so that means I don't have faith of a mustard seed. It's like, what is going on? But you want these mountain-moving experiences. You want these great works of God in your life, but when God's asking you to give up an Isaac, when God's asking you to do the right thing despite the status, we don't do that. We ought to have enough faith to do the right thing without hesitation or delay. We see here that the function of faith is completely reliant on the individual doing what the Lord is telling them to do. Faith doesn't come for us because we're so good, but it comes because we follow the Lord. Every time we have a chance to test our faith or to prove our faith, it should be for the glory of God. It's firstly experiencing what true salvation is, doing exactly what God is telling you to do with zero hesitation or delay, and despite the circumstance or the influence, doing the right thing in the face of adversity. We see that the way we develop a faith that stands is not by being passive in our Christian life, but actively obeying what the Lord has done for us. So that's it this morning. As we look at this, the function of faith. In 2 weeks, we're going to finish up with the formation of faith. So I have, as I said, I have this handout this morning. I'll kind of go through it real quick. If you guys want one, they're by the bulletin. You're not forced to take them. I'm not going to grade you on them. But the memory verse is James 2:17. It's a short one. I gave you an easy one last week, Hebrews 11:6. We all should know that one. And James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Short verse. But then I have just three quick questions, application questions to consider throughout the week. It says, what action has God asked you to take in faith? The second question is, have you obeyed or are you still waiting for a sign? And the third question is, in what ways in your life have you seen a deliverance from God based on faith? I also have last week's memory verse on there, so if you want to have all that on a bigger sheet, you can. Those are out by the bulletins. But next week we're going to look, or not next week, but in 2 weeks, I got to see what that is exactly, what I titled that. In 2 weeks, the formation of faith. We're going to talk about trials. We're going to talk about how we get patience. It's going to be, Lord willing, a blessing to you guys. I know it's been a blessing for me to be able to teach faith, to go through it on my own. You have to really study it to be able to teach it, and I hope that the Lord has used me to convey a message. As Pastor said before, it's really hard to feel like you've done the passage justice, but I just thank you guys for listening and just having grace with me as a young guy to teach you guys, but it's been a blessing. And Pastor, all you. Thank you. That's good.
Thank you, Brother Aiden. Wasn't that great? It really was. Faith, you know, he's talking about a faith that stands, the function of faith. And how faith functions, it just really relies upon, and he brought this point home very, very clearly about whether or not we're willing to just simply obey the Lord and trust him. Because the Lord's going to put us through difficult things, there's going to be trials in our life, there certainly are. There's trials in the lives of everybody who lives in this world. But for his children, the Lord specifically designs some trials and tribulations for us. They're customized. And the intent is so that we will trust the Lord, and he wants to stretch our faith so that we'll grow in faith. And that was well brought out. I thought that was great. You know, there's really a very a small amount of things that we've hardly heard. These are things we hear all the time, but we need to hear them all the time. And we were challenged again this morning about our faith, and so I appreciate that from Brother Aiden. May we learn to be people that walk by faith and not by sight. And that's certainly what I take away from it, is that, Lord, help me to just trust you. You think about Abraham. That was a great example. And he was certainly tested when he was commanded to offer up Isaac, his only son. That I just can't even go there. There's just no way I can even go there. It would have to be by God's grace, because there's just no way. But God will give us the grace to be able to do what he's called us to do. Amen? Yeah. All right. So with that, let's go ahead. We'll just close in a quick word of prayer, then we'll take a little bit of time to fellowship before the morning service starts. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you for what we've heard in regard to faith. Lord, your word speaks of it so much. And Lord, you've given to us faith. You've put it inside of us to use it. And it's many times we liken it to a muscle, and I think that's good. It's to be exercised, and it's going to be developed in us as we learn to trust you. But so often, maybe we fail at trusting you, and our faith stays small and slender and very weak. Help us to be men and women of faith. Help us to learn to trust you at every turn in the road, whatever it is that comes our way. You're so gracious and so kind to help us along. So we pray that you would incline our hearts toward just trusting you every day and watching our faith grow. So we thank you. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.